This is Gloria Minot Presents
Rabbit, the Autobiography of Miss Pat by Patricia Williams. Well, hers is an amazing story, and we're going to be talking about that right now. Miss Pat, good morning, if I may call you that.
No, that's fine. Good morning.
How are you?
Just fine.
All right. Well, let me just tell our listening audience a little about you. Patricia Williams, who performs under the name Miss Pat, hasn't lived the life of your typical comedian. Born to a single mother of five, living on welfare in a tough West End neighborhood of Atlanta during the height of the crack epidemic, Miss Pat learned early on she would have to fend for herself in this world. Pat watched as her alcoholic mother struggled to get by on charity, cons, and petty crimes. At seven, Pat was taught to roll drunks for money. For years during her childhood, she and her sister suffered sexual abuse at the hands of their mother's boyfriend. At 12, she was targeted for sex by a man 8 years her senior. By 13, she was pregnant, and by 15, she was a mother of two. Not only is Miss Pat funny as hell, this is Roseanne Barr. She also understands how comedy is the most powerful weapon on earth against sorrow and inequity. But it wasn't until I read Rabbit that I discovered how much she has really been through. Miss Pat survived PTA meetings and getting shot. And she said another sentence here that I can't read on the air. Miss Pat, it is so good to talk to you. What inspired you to write this memoir?
Well, I guess because I wanted to tell my story because, you know, I didn't grow up in the West End of Atlanta. I didn't realize that so many women had gone through what I had went through. You know, I'm from the ghetto. I thought this only happened in the ghetto. And once I became a comedian and started talking about it on stage, it's women from all walks of life. And I was like, really? This happened to everybody? So, you know, people kept saying, you should write a book. And I had so many more stories that I couldn't share, like chapter five. I was never able to make chapter five funny. So I figured, hey, if I ever get the opportunity, I would love to write a book. And this lady heard me on a podcast and came through and said, I think you have a story the world should hear.
Mm-hmm. The title of your book, Rabbit, was also your nickname as a child and a teenager. Where did the name come from?
The name came from my mama's boyfriend, Curtis, my stepdad. And I used to like carrots, so he would buy them all the time. So he started calling me Rabbit. And I took that name on and it moved up with me, you know, when I became a drug dealer. Because technically you can't use your full name when you're a drug dealer.
Uh-huh. How long did you do that for?
Drugs?
Uh-huh.
Sell drugs?
Yes.
Probably 5-6 years.
You write about how at seven your mother told you to pickpocket drunks at your grandmother's liquor house. Do you recall how it felt being encouraged to commit crimes at that young age?
You know, I do recall. I hated it. But, you know, I think you have to do what your mom tells you to do. I hated it because I was so scared that they would wake up and beat the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always say, won't you just do it? If you know when they're sleeping, you know, as a kid, I'm thinking, why don't you just do it? But it was one of the most terrifying things I had to do in that house.
Would you explain to our listening audience how it felt to grow up in Atlanta in the 1980s and 90s during the height of the crack epidemic?
You know, it was crazy because, I mean, at that time, I had just had two kids when crack kind of hit the black community. And you saw people who was regular people with jobs, good parents, go to just leaving their kids. And you didn't see that in the black community, you know, when I was before crack hit the black community. Black people, we struggle, but we're all about family. When crack came, it tore families apart.
You also talked about a woman who is dear to you. You called her Angel in Leather Boots, who was that person?
That person was a third or fourth grade teacher. I can't quite remember, but her name was Miss Truth. And she was, she stepped in my life at a time, I mean, when I was really catching it. I was being kind of bullied at school because I was a poor kid, and, you know, I was surviving off free lunch. Those two lunches lunch and breakfast meant everything to me. And she knew I was, my household, you know, wasn't what it was supposed to be. So she stepped in, and she would comb my hair, and she would take me in the bathroom at school. She just asked me to get there early and give me a bath, you know, and try to make me look decent so the kids wouldn't pick at me. Mm. And I just remember her telling me, you know, one day when she was combing my hair, she said, "Patricia, you know, I just want you to remember you can be anything in the world you want to be. All you got to do is dream. A person without a dream, they're not alive." And even when I was doing time in jail for trafficking cocaine, even when I was at my lowest in an abusive relationship after my kid's father shot me, I always quoted her. So she's just always been an angel in my life. I really think had she not did what she done, I probably would have crumbled.
Mm-hmm. How difficult was it for you to deal with being shot and planning your mother's funeral?
I started planning my mother's funeral. You know, I didn't realize, and this is a strong word I'm about to use, I didn't realize how much I hated my mom by the time she died. Because, you know, I started to, I'm 16 at that time, and I realized, you know, she didn't protect me. I'm in an abusive relationship. You know, she didn't do nothing. And I really never felt like this lady loved me. So it was no emotion there. I didn't cry. I just wanted to bury her, you know, to completely have her out of my life. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I was able to forgive her.
You also have your own children. How many children do you have?
I have four kids. I raised my sister, four nieces. I raised my sister, four kids, which my sister was on drugs. Raised them for 10 years. She came back and she took them. And, you know, I was going to fight for them. And my family kind of turned against me. And I was like, look, y'all, all I'm trying to do here is break the cycle of high school dropout, being on welfare, being uneducated. Give these kids a chance that we didn't deserve. You know, and everybody would thought, well, she's off drugs now. She's clean. She can get her kids back. And I was like, she's never clean. So my nieces fell into that same predicament that me and my sister came out of, situation that me and my sister came out of.
And you used to drive through a particular neighborhood time and time again because you saw a house that you knew you wanted your family to live in. Talk to us about traveling to that neighborhood several times.
It's the neighborhood I live in now. My husband works at General Motors, and we moved here from Atlanta to Indianapolis. And I wanted to buy a house, and he was like, no, we can't afford to live there. But I believe if you put it in the universe, it'll come back. That's just what I believe. I've not gotten this far in my life not putting it in the universe and God not giving it back. And he was like, well, we can't afford to live there. And I was like, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And I drove through here for 3 years, and my kids would say, why you come through here? Papa say we can't live here. I was like, we can do anything we want to do.
And here you are living in your dream house.
I am living in the dream house.
And, you know, we should talk about your successes because you are on the comedy circuit, top of the line clubs. Talk to us about that kind of success.
I'll be honest with you. When I started this, I realized that this is the only thing I can do in life, and they not check my criminal background history. So I was like, you know, because I had lost so many jobs by me being a convicted felon. I went to medical assistant school, couldn't get a job because I was a convicted felon. So when I picked up that mic and I realized, hey, you could do this for a living and nobody check your criminal background history, I was like, oh, this is for me. They don't care who you killed, what you did. All you need to be is fun. So when I discovered comedy, it not only did it give me a job that didn't check my criminal background history, it was a way for me to heal with all the stuff I had been through in life.
Miss Pat, what do you hope people will take away from reading Rabbit?
I hope they'll take away, you know, the ability to tell their story. Don't be ashamed of what you went through. It's growing pains. I hope I inspire somebody to be open about something that really hurts them.
Miss Pat, it's good talking to you. It's called Rabbit, the autobiography of Miss Pat by Patricia Williams with Janine Amber. And Lee Daniels, the creator of Empire, said, people say, I laughed and I cried, and it sounds like a cliche, but Rabbit really took me there. It's everything. Poignant, heartbreaking, and hilarious. All at once, I couldn't put it down. Miss Pat, thanks for being my guest. All the best.
Thank you.
All right, take care.